Now, even though no one has said anything to me this morning, I have no doubt when some of the elders looked at the bulletin and they saw the many things that were going on and they knew that I was going to be preaching, they said, "Whew, we better start praying now." I am not known for short sermons, but I will do my best this morning. Let's first have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, have done. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to provide the way. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. Father, if someone does not go away from this place with hearing the phrase, "You are good," then they were not listening. This morning, may you pour out your Holy Spirit in your word and in the word that is proclaimed and the word that is sung to remind all of us that you are a good, good Father, that you love us beyond all measure. We pray this prayer in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles or the Bibles that are in front of you, I ask you to open to Romans chapter 8, page 1201. Now, for those who are visitors this morning, for many months we've been traveling through the book of Romans. We've already passed this spot, but we're going back because it fits with Vacation Bible School. It fits with the theme of the day. It fits with the theme that we've been following for our Sunday worship services, the book of Romans. We're going to be looking at chapter 8, just verses 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. God is good all the time. All week long, the children have been looking each day at something very different. When life is unfair, when life is scary, when life changes, when life is sad, God is good. I left off the last one on purpose. We'll come back to that later. We live in a world, our experience right now in the world we live in shows us that this is a difficult place. Husbands and wives struggle with maintaining a marriage. Fathers and mothers struggle with maintaining a relationship with their children. I've spoken to some parents not too long ago who have not spoken to their children in many, many months. Not because of just distance. Today, distance is no longer an excuse. Almost everybody has one of these things. The church made me get one. We struggle in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. We're going to put that in a modern day term. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You will struggle. I can't make my finances, my mortgage, my rent is due. I don't know what to do. My child is sick. My wife, my husband, they are sick. I am sick physically. Cancer or diabetes or something difficult is affecting my family. This is not good stuff. This is trouble. This is tribulation. Our little ones go to school and they come home with tears in their eyes because they want to have that friend and that individual turns their back on them. We as adults go through the same thing, but our hearts seem to break a little more when that 5-year-old, when that 8-year-old, when that 13-year-old. We live in a world right now that says you're not good enough the way you are. You need to have this surgery to look a little better, or you need to wear these clothes to be a little better. You really, if you do this, you'll be better. God made you the way you are and loves you the way you are. God made you the way you are and loves you the way you are. Now, that does not mean if there's something wrong that we say, well, a person with diabetes, we're not going to give them medicine. Praise God that we have a medical field today that can fix things that are the result of sin in this world. Praise God that there are counselors who hopefully come from a Christ-centered perspective, who can sit with us and fix our minds and our hearts when theist wants to twist our young people. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And God is still on the throne, and He is still good. When we read the Scripture, when we go back to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, when we go back to the very beginning, we see that the world, since sin has come into it, has always been this way. This is nothing new, my friends. There is nothing new under the sun, the book of Ecclesiastes. We've had a world where men have abused women. We've had a world where adults have abused children. We've had a world where human beings have been wronging one another, Cain and Abel, right from the beginning. This gift to us, this word of God, this holy, written, inspired, inerrant word of God was given as a gift because it is history, it is truth, it is reality. You go into the Middle East right now and you start digging in the ground and you will find the artifacts that show that this is not Mother Goose. This is not Aesop's fables. This is history. And if you want to change it a little bit, say H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. It is His story. It is God's story of how God said, you know what? It is broken. My creation is broken, and I am going to reach down and provide a plan so that people can once again find fullness, find peace, find my goodness. That's what that book is all about. That book is not a book of rules. That book is not a book of take away your joy. You want real joy? You follow that book. You want real peace in life? You come to know Jesus Christ through His holy, written, inspired word. Because that is where you'll find it. Derek isn't here today. He's one of the young men who live at my house, and I call him my bonus son. And Derek likes to work out at the gym. And he'll tell me once in a while, no pain, no gain. Okay, well, there's truth to that. The Christian walk here on earth, Jesus Christ did not promise that it would be easy. If you go to some church and they say, accept Jesus and smooth sailing comes your way, they are not reading their word. In this world, be strengthened, for I have overcome the world, Jesus says. That doesn't mean that while you're on earth, things are going to be great. Jesus overcame the world through His resurrection from the dead. Right now, He sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and He knows you by name. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, He sits beside His Father in heaven, and He says, Simon is one of mine. Father, Simon is one of mine. He says, Lucas is one of mine. He says, Maddie is one of mine. These are my brothers and sisters. These are your children, Father. The Holy Spirit intercedes on behalf of God the Father and God the Son for you and I. Scripture says it this morning. We don't even have to know how to pray. We don't even have to know what to pray because God knows our needs before we even say them. I have a friend right now who is going to doctor after doctor after doctor because she's not sure what's wrong with her body. The doctors aren't sure what's wrong with her body. The white blood cell count is all over the place. The red blood cell count is all over the place. Is it leukemia? Is it not leukemia? They don't know. There's some people in the room right now who've had a similar story in their life. This is a friend of mine from work. this world, we don't always know what to pray for. We don't always know what's going on in our own hearts. We don't always know what's going on in the lives of our children. The Holy Spirit does. God knows what's making us tick the way we're ticking. God knows what's bringing the emotions about that are in our hearts and minds. In the middle of the night when you are at home and it was a good day and a depression falls on you. I can't be the only one who experiences that. When you look around and say, you know what, life is not that bad. Why do I feel the way I do? First of all, I can tell you the answer to that. That's the evil one. That's the evil one whispering in your ear. But when we sit there and don't understand it, know this. You have a God in heaven who does understand it. He does know you. He knows everything about you, the number of hairs upon your head. I have less than many of you. But he knows them. He knows everything about you and everything about me. He knows the emotions. He knows events that took place when I was a child that I don't even remember that have shaped and formed me. And he intercedes on my behalf. When I don't know what to pray, it's okay. When I don't know the words, it's okay. Because I know my Savior. I guess that's my challenge for you this morning. I guess that's really the challenge this morning. Not do you know it all, because you won't. But do you know the one who knows it all? Not do you have it all together, because I don't and you don't either. Do you know the one who has it all together? This morning, the famous verse, all things work together for good. And you know what? That's usually where people stop talking. That's sad and it's wrong. Don't take the Bible and take a little snippet and take it out of context. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Hear that again. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. This morning, do you love God? Do you love Jesus Christ? If you do not know him, then that verse is not your verse. And this morning, it is my prayer that this verse become yours. If you do not know Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about knowing about him. I know about George Washington, but if I told you this morning I knew George Washington, I spoke with him last night, I think somebody would make a phone call and some gentleman with a white jacket would be waiting for me at the end of the service. I might know about George Washington, but I do not know him. The world around us says, well, if you know about Jesus, no. That's not what we're talking about. Do you know Jesus? Not about him. Not just reading about him. I could read a history book about George Washington and I could find out that he had false teeth. I could find out that when he died, they put this little thing in his mouth to make him have a protruding jaw to look more masculine and put a mask on him so that they would have a statue of him forever and ever that would look strong. They changed his looks a little bit because they wanted him to be stronger looking. I could read all about him. I could read about Jesus on the cross. I could read about what they did to him. But that's about him. This morning, my question is, do you know him? Do you speak to him? Do you talk to him? Do you walk with him? Do you cry with him and rejoice with him? And no, I'm not asking if you're crazy, because Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ is alive today and forevermore. And he wants to be living in your heart. He wants to walk with you in such an intimate way that it draws you into a relationship with God the Father. Again, this book was given to us to be the way, the bridge to remind us how to restore this broken relationship that the world finds itself in right now. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Do you love Him this morning? Do you love Him so much that if Satan is whispering in your ear temptations of things that feel good, they feel right? You go to a lot of counselors today. You go to a lot of therapists today. They'll say if it feels good, if it feels right to you, if it makes you a whole person, then that's good for you. That is wrong, my friends. That is wrong. Today, what we need to remember is that God has a plan for our lives. And do you love Him? Do you want to glorify Him in your life? Derek would tell me, no pain, no gain. When I walk with Jesus Christ, there are things that I would rather have, but I shouldn't. There are things I would rather do that I shouldn't. There might be ways that I want to dress or ways that I want to act that I should not. And it might mean giving something up, but I gain so much more. I gain so much more. I gain a relationship with God. Do you love Him? And are you called according to His purpose? I'm going to tell you what the purpose of Jesus Christ was. The purpose of Jesus Christ was a selfless sacrifice. It wasn't about Him, so to speak. It was about His Father's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He got on His knees and said, "Not my will be done, but yours be done." Jesus was about selflessness, not selfishness. Our world teaches the opposite because that is satanic. That is the world. The world says, do what feels good to you. Husbands and wives that don't get along anymore, well, we just grew apart. How do you grow apart when all you do is care about the other? When all you do is care about the other? Something is broken. My friends, are you called according to His purpose? His purpose in your life is to be like Christ. The calling in your life is to be like Christ. The calling in your life is not to be selfish, what I want, what makes me feel good, but what God wants, what gives Him glory. And I will tell you, the end result is peace that passes understanding. When somebody first starts on a diet and they really get into it, it's painful to begin with. So I'm told I got to start one. It's painful to begin with, but once somebody really makes that lifestyle change, they feel good. Life is better. When somebody first makes that commitment to work out in the gymnasium and to get their body healthy again, there's a lot of pain. But in the end, they feel better. They're stronger. They work through that beginning difficulty. I used to run cross country. That was crazy. I would run 7 miles with school. That first day that I did that, I went home and I wanted to die. My muscles ached. I hurt. I never turn away food. I like to eat. Well, I came home, I looked at the dinner, and I said, good night. I don't even think I took a shower. Gross. I just crawled into bed, and it was over. That first day of running 7 miles, I thought my coach was a masochist, a sadist. He was terrible. He put me through so much pain. By the end of the season, we were running 14 miles, and it was like nothing. It wasn't always a sprint, of course. It was a jog, but it was 14 miles of running. And I could do it, and it wasn't really that big of a deal. Are you called according to the purpose of Jesus Christ, according to God's will for your life? And I'm not going to say that it's going to be easy. But in the end, as you walk with Jesus, as you talk with Jesus, you will find a strength and a peace that makes no sense to the world. The world wants you to eat chocolate and bonbons and ice cream and dessert. Ooh, good stuff, proteins, vegetables. My friends, we live in a world that's broken, but we have a God that's good. I left off the last one. When life is good, God is good. You see, when things get really unfair, I start to pray a lot. When I'm really scared, I start to pray a lot. When life around me changes and I don't like change, I like to pray a lot. God help. When I'm really sad, I'm reminded and I pray a lot. But sometimes, when life is good, I forget God is good. Sometimes when life is good, that's when I forget. I forget who gave those good gifts. I forget who really paid the price on the cross. So this morning, as I come to the end of this message, my challenge to you is, do you know God through Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Are you called according to His purpose and not yours? Because you will not find peace until you surrender to the goodness of God. Let's pray. Father, we do not know why all the circumstances happen in our lives, but we know this: you love us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Father, this morning, we ask that you would stir in our hearts. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that for the first time, their heart is being stirred, that they want to know Jesus, not just know about Him. Lord, do not let them leave this place without reaching out to you. We pray this prayer not because we have some power or some right of ourselves, but because all power and all authority comes from you. So it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to be having a song that we are going to sing with some of the young people. Our young adults are going to sing a song called Blessings. And I believe this song probably fits very well with the idea that God is good, even through difficult times.